Hey everyone, this is Johnny Cruz, and you are tuned in to Ugly Brown Boy. You can catch this on all podcast platforms, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Thank you for listening, and thank you for watching. You and I for a lifetime. Hey everybody. Oh, it is hot in here. Okay. This fan is not a prop necessarily. Although it is, but it's not. This serves very, very practical reasons because I am a sweater and it's hot in this room. It's nicely acoustically balanced, but it is very, very warm, and I don't want to turn the fan on because then you'll have all that noise, blah, blah, blah. So this is my co-host, my fan. But for this episode, I want to talk a little about betrayal and what I'm going to talk about is kind of, what's the word? Controversial, maybe? And I say this because it involves family. And it's not the usual stories that I have been telling with regards to my growing up in a homophobic family, although this does involve a little bit of homophobia, but it is a story about betrayal that I have not confronted, and I don't know if I can confront these people regarding this betrayal. All I know is I haven't told this story to anyone except for my husband. So here goes. When I was a kid, right out of high school, I really didn't want to stay in New York. I went to SUNY Purchase to study liberal arts. And because it's an arts school, the friends that I made there were all musicians and singers and dancers and actors, and that is actually what I wanted to do. But my parents wouldn't allow any of that. So I had to pursue academia. After I dropped out of SUNY Purchase because I was unhappy and I wasn't focused on my quote-unquote academic studies, I figured, let me go to California because I know that I love Southern California for its weather, and I can establish residency there so that I can go to a state school and have my education subsidized. And then maybe I could study the arts. So I went out there, and my parents still footed the bill for rent. I stayed with my uncle and his son, my cousin, and his wife. So my cousin and I shared a room, and he is younger than me, and I was kind of enjoying myself, but as you may or may not know, it's very difficult to get around in California, especially LA, without a car. So I didn't have a car. I worked at an office where my uncle worked, so I was hitching rides with him. And it was great. Like, I really enjoyed myself. That's where I got into singing with the church, and it was a good life for me back then. So I was doing that, and my cousin and I were close, or at least I thought we were close. And soon to find out that another relative of his came into the picture at one point, and they started hanging out. And although I did hang out with them, there was a lot of poking fun at me for being gay. And it wasn't even obvious. It was very subversive. Like, they were just laughing at me, and they would make fun of things that I said. I would see them whispering and giggling, and it was awkward. But one of the things that we did, I don't know where in the timeline this falls, one of the things that we did together, like, we hatched this scheme, and I used my social security number at the DMV to get him a fake ID. And okay, so Social Security already should tell you that, oh man, don't mess around with your Social Security number. Kids out there, do not mess around with your Social Security number. But I enjoyed, or tried to enjoy, California as much as I could, but the people there were very superficial, and I grew up in New York, so in New York, everybody is really straightforward. They tell you what's on their mind. Some people feel like it's mean, but I like it because I don't think it's mean. It's direct, and you know exactly what you're getting from people. So that part wasn't enjoyable. The weather was incredible, and just being close to beaches and the mountains, there's so much to love about Southern California, but the people really, really sucked. Like, if you didn't have anything to offer them, if you were not in TV or film, if you weren't an actor, if you weren't a director, if you weren't involved at all, then you meant nothing to people, because most of them were actors anyway. I did get involved with a church there, and I enjoyed myself, and that's where I really did well singing solos, and I even put concerts on, and it was really enjoyable as far as that went. But I got really tired of the way people behaved, and I decided to come back to New York. So, I don't know, years later, you know, when I went back to New York, I went back to school, and as a student, you have access to credit cards like you're walking into a candy store, and you can just pick whatever you want, and you can have it. So I got myself into a lot of debt, and that was my fault. Like, a lot of that was my fault. But when I was trying to pay my debt off, there were other charges that were coming through that I noticed from the West Coast. And I was like, what's happening? Like, why do I have all these charges that were opened up on the West Coast? And I kind of put two and two together and figured that it was my cousin. And I recently discovered that there were two cousins that were involved who knew my social security number and used it apart from their own social security numbers. So it's only logical that all of these credit card charges, these phantom charges from the West Coast, they had to have come from him or them. But like I said, I never confronted either of them regarding this. And neither of them said anything to me. So I have this kind of latent anger towards them. And again, it's not something that I went ahead and confronted them about. And I don't know how to confront them. So this vehicle, the podcast, could be it. It could be the only way. But I don't know who listens to this. I don't know if family members are actually interested in this, but who knows? All I know is, as I was working through my really, really messed up credit that was my fault, I discovered that there were credit cards opened under my name and obviously using my social security number. And I had to work through, I didn't pay those, the ones that were opened on the West Coast. But I dealt with the consequences of reneging on those credit card payments from over there. And it really messed up my credit for a long time. And so I don't know if I should say anything to anybody. Like, it's been years already. And the one cousin that I lived with, I haven't spoken to him in forever. So that also leads me to believe that something happened, that what I believe is true. But the other cousin who, you know, I'm kind of like, do you think he was involved too? We get along really, really well. And he hasn't said anything to me about it. And I have not said anything to either of them, like I said. So it's this sense of betrayal that I have from both of them that I neither want to confront nor want to know about at this point, you know, because what good would it do? My credit is amazing now. Like, if something happened and all of a sudden another credit card showed up somewhere with my social security number and it was on the West Coast, I would flip and I would call the FBI. But as it stands right now, my credit is incredibly good. And as long as it stays that way, as long as I'm doing my part and it stays that way, I guess I intend to leave it all alone. But I don't know what I should do. And I guess I'm not trying to take a poll or anything, but to get this story out there at least helps me get this off my chest. And I don't have to really think about it anymore. Maybe this podcast will get to them somehow. But it's really interesting how that story played out in my life. On a happier note, I found out today that the location that I want to open up my cafe is available, and I'm hopefully going to be taking a look at it this week and negotiating the lease and getting a small business loan so that I can open my cafe up. And if you haven't heard it already, I have been talking about it. It's called Bookburn, not Burn Book, Bookburn Cafe. And the website is officialbookburn.com. And it is a concept that I've been working on for the past few years, where I feel a need has to be met in our communities across the nation, where books of literature are being banned from our schools, and the important works that I read in my childhood to understand slavery and the Holocaust and man's inhumanity to other people, the pieces of literature are being taken out of schools. They have been taken out of schools. And this is my way of reclaiming the voices of Black, Brown, Indigenous people, the same with the LGBTQ plus community. This is going to be a safe haven for the LGBTQ community, especially the trans community, which has come under fire for the most ridiculous reasons. And I want this place to be a space where people can come and they can be themselves and they can read about their stories and they can tell their stories and we can reclaim our history together and have this space, Book Burn Cafe, to be the vehicle and the venue for the expression of our identity and our equality in this country. So if you're hearing this and you are able to make a donation, I have taken several donations already, and that has helped me with fees that are required for an LLC, and I also got a trademark for Book Burn, and just little things here and there. Your donations can really, really help. And you can find a link to the GoFundMe for Book Burn Cafe on the website at officialbookburn.com. So I look forward to telling you more about that and its development. And I'm really, really excited. Thank you for your support and your prayers. It's finally coming to life, and I'm thrilled. Thank you for joining me this week, and I will see you next Tuesday.